Charlie Duty app.
Yeah, that's
That's a tough one. You know, money's good, but it's not everything. But can you find something? I mean, it's, especially you, right? Like, you do something that's already one of your hobbies. You make a good living doing it. Like, what would be worthwhile to you to hang it up and say, I'm going to go do this now recreationally? Like, what is it? Would it be related to radio, or would it be totally separate?
It could be, I guess, under certain circumstances. There are certain specialty positions in this industry that I think about. I don't know if I'd want a regular grind after retirement, but, you know, maybe a specific project, you know, last couple of years, like bring a system online or something like that. You know, maybe something along those lines, but, yeah, no, I don't know. It's hard to say what. You know, then there's any number of, you know, I don't want anything too terribly serious, you know, so, oh, my antenna fell off. God darn it. I better pull over before I destroy it.
All right, NADVF standing by.
I bought a little mag mount for the mesh plastic, you know, the little mesh plastic, and it come flying off the car, and now it's just dangling off the side.
You guys are killing me, because now I'm getting interested in it again, now that everybody's adopted it, and, like, it's actually growing.
All right, let me hop out here and see what the antenna situation is. Be right back. The one complaint I have, I bought these cheap 2-for-20 little curly Q, you know, antennas for this mesh plastic stuff, and if there were one complaint, the magnets on them are so pathetic that they don't stay stuck to the car under speed.
Are they permanently affixed to the magma, or are they SMA, or what are they? Can you get a different magnet?
Well, they're threaded. I'm just trying to think. Yeah, see, now the mag mount has the coax, you know, with the SMA connector, and then the rod is threaded. So I guess you could, but, yeah, I don't know. The whole, you know, the damn thing's a 2-for-20. I mean, they work pretty well, but like I said, the magnets are just absolutely pathetic on them. So it renders them kind of, I mean, they won't stand under their own weight, you know, because the magnet, the base of the magnet is too small. So you need to magnet them to something to give them a little ballast. And then they don't seem to stick really well to the car, so it's a pain. It's a pita. I think I'd like to, I bought four of them already. I bought two sets. Now I'm starting to question my decision.
I know Anthony's got one that he's had on his car for a long time, and it's from AliExpress. Ask him what it is.
Yeah, I think John bought three of those. You know, they're like $4 each. So we'll see if the $4 specials are better. I don't know. I can box these up and send them back, but I'm about ready to do that. Because, you know, they're $10 each. Yeah, but, you know, you get them the next day. And I didn't want to wait for, you know, the slow boat from China. But if they're better, they're only $4 each, then you got to consider.
Yep, my T-deck was from the slow boat, well, slow plane, and it was worth it. I like it. I was actually looking. I'm trying to figure out what my next venture in this mesh plastic is going to be, because I do want to build one more node for my building. And now that there's activity in my area somehow, miraculously, I kind of want to put one outside. but I want it to be much more inconspicuous than the big one that I gave you.
Well, if you want to just ease back, that's fine. I'm like flush with mesh stuff now, and we're building some very specific ones for the sites. We need a very specific set of parameters met, and they're going to have to be tie based so that we can power them over Ethernet and not rely on batteries or solar. We'll have backup power in the data center in the site. So they'll still be backed up and all that good stuff. It just won't be a solar kind of, the idea of the solar with batteries is to set and forget it, right? I don't need to do that. And being on a Pi, all the, dang it, there goes the antenna again. Son of a bitch, just got on 59. These things are worthless, they're going back. Anywho, being on a Pi, you could do all the updates and, configuration and everything like that. Remotely, you can manage it, which is going to be important because these things are going to be difficult places to get to. So if you had to go do something, you can't be just crawling out onto the roof and, standing out there in 20 below weather and stuff like that. So to make a long story short, Fred's got a couple of Dave had posted a couple of 1 watt units, and Fred had ordered up some of the RF decks, much like the RX, the racks have the little RF decks, and then there's a circuit board that he had several of those, and he's built one up so far, and it looks pretty promising. So we're going to go, it's a lot more difficult to set up, because you don't have all the, you just don't flash it. You got to install Debian or something on the Pi, and then download all your packages and configure them and stuff. So, but that's the way I'm going to be going, which, to make a long story, a long, rambling, fumbling story, 1 minute longer, that kind of makes those two notes I got from you. That was what I was earmarking those for, so.
Well, like I said, I'm willing to donate to the cause if you've got a use for them. I'm not an Indian giver, so I don't want them back, but if you're not going to use them, I could definitely repurpose them. So I don't care one way or another. I'm with you. The self-contained thing, I don't know. I got to look at Anthony's setup because I think he's got his dialed in. I don't know what. I think I just have crappy solar panels on those two.
Yeah, I don't know about all that because that's just not something I'm looking to accomplish. So I haven't really been following it or paying attention to it or anything. They're looking at the means to make that work. I get it. In fact, that little one you got with the rack, wouldn't that be sweet if that worked, as intended? And maybe it would. I suppose if, we lived in, Arizona or something like that where, you always got good sunlight. And, here, the sunlight's poor and, you can't just face it south and catch, most of the day's sunlight. And there's even sometimes, you'd have to rotate it during the year because in the spring you'd have to have it pointing north, and then in the winter you'd have to have it pointing south. And if that setup worked, that'd be really, really sweet. I just think it's where we live.
Yeah, I had high hopes for that rack one. I was looking for different enclosures. They make an upgraded version of that. I don't know if that would make a difference. But yeah, I think, like you said, it's Michigan. There's just not a lot of sunshine in the winter months.
Yeah, we can definitely do solar here. I know homes with it. You know, you always want to put them on the southern exposure, and you got to have a nice clear view. And you shouldn't have a whole lot of trees. You want to make sure that you get the morning sun all the way through the setting sun as much as you can. So how high the trees are around you will cut down on that by potentially hours. So nice clear open view to the south, and you can do it, but you're not going to probably ever do it quite as you know, good as they're going to do it in Arizona. So there's that. Oh, let's see here. I am on Hall right in front of the old Lakeside Mall. I think there's a Starbucks right here, isn't there? Maybe by that Chipotle, I'm not sure. I literally just crossed 53, but now I'm cooking with gas and there's no traffic on it, so you're probably way ahead of me. I'm saying 735 now. Yeah, if that's the case, then I will probably, we'll connect at lunchtime, because I like to be in by 7:30. 7:25 would be cutting it. You know, I could get there pretty close, but I'm already behind, and I ain't got nothing to do twiddling my thumbs for the, because where am I at now? I'm at Hayes and 59, so I think I'm pretty much here, and so I'd be twiddling my thumbs for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, like I said, it's no big deal. We can try to meet on lunch, or depending on what time I hit Hall Road, I can just come straight to the shop too and pick it up from you. You don't have to spin around and don't have to make a special trip.
Well, like I was saying yesterday, it's not really a special trip. I do got to get out, and I do, I am thinking for lunch, I'm thinking Garfield 19th, either do Olga's or Bangkok, I'm not sure. There's a lot of stuff right there. But, so I'm going to be out and a lot closer to you. It's not right there where you're at. So give me a call on Telegram when you think. Normally I break for lunch about 11:30, I can flex that just about anywhere I want, you know, out to about 1 o'clock.
All right, yeah, we can keep in touch. I didn't take lunch until 3 o'clock yesterday, so that's why lunch plans for me are a shit show, because I never know how the day is going to go. But, yeah, we'll keep in touch. No big deal. I'm thinking, I don't know if you've had that Yala Express yet off of just north of 19 on Garfield, but, man, that place is phenomenal if you like Mediterranean.
I do. What's it called?
It's called Yala Express, and it's on the east side of Garfield, north of 19, in a little strip mall where Garbanzo's Mediterranean Fresh used to be. And it's basically, it's like Mediterranean Subway almost, where you got a bunch of different options, but I always get a bowl. The bowls are like 40 or 42 ounces. It's no doubt more than two meals. I've never finished one in a sitting, and it's like $13. It's so good.
Is this one of these places where you tell them what you want in the bowl, or do they have, like, you know, I'll take the number two?
Ooh, we're talking about food? Morning, Anthony. It's kind of like that. So for the bowls, you pick, like, what kind of bowl you want. So there's, like, a kebab bowl, which is big chunks of chicken. There's a shawarma bowl, the gyro bowl, which is phenomenal. And then you can pick your base, so I always get rice, but there's a couple different options for that. And they're super chill there, so you could probably be like, hey, can I make my own bowl? And I think they let you, but the food's stellar. It is so good. I think that's what I'm doing for lunch today. They're closed on Mondays. Keep that in mind.
K-E-A-R-U-H. What restaurant are you guys talking about?
Yala Express. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I do love me some of that. That's for sure. I'll have maybe I'll do that today. We'll have to see. But I actually don't like where you get to make all the choices. Like what is it, Chipotle or whatever? I got a guy at my work who loves going that place, but they don't have anything like, you know, prefab, you know, because I'm the kind of guy, I always make the wrong decisions. I like, oh, I like that, give me that. Oh, I like that, give me that. Well, sometimes things don't go together. Just because I like them doesn't mean they should be together in a dish. And so I always make terrible choices and have these monstrosities because, you know, it's like I go down the list and everything I like I want in it, you know, and it's like that's a mess. And I would just rather they have, like, you know, the chicken kebab bowl, you know, and there's something like that. Fine, give me one of them. And, let the chef decide.
That's what it is. You can customize it a little bit, or you can make it for what it is.
Sean, I'm the total opposite. I enjoy building my own, and then you can get exactly what you want in there. But I do understand the idea that you have that. Sometimes some things don't go together, and it could ruin it for you.
Starbucks here. So, yeah, I'm not a chef. I mean, I know what I like, kinda, sorta, but I'm just not the person to put together. You know, a good chef knows exactly what goes with what. And just the right things to put together to make the perfect dish, you know. And even if you love red onion, it doesn't go in this dish, right? You know, or you know, that's just an example I pulled out of my dupa. Me, if I go down the line and go, oh, green onions, I love those, give me those. Red onion, oh, I love those, give me those. You just screwed up, you know. Not always, but I mean, that's my problem. And, I mean, I could pick the base, right? That's not hard. And I can pick the protein. That's not hard. It's just all the fixings that make something what it is. And, not me, man, Anthony. I'm not good at that whole culinary thing. Just at eating it, that's all. Dakota?
Yep, the more I eat out, the more places I eat, the older I get, the more I'm like, simple. Like when I go to Chipotle, I don't really do anything crazy. I get a chicken burrito with white rice, guacamole, cheese, and queso. So, I know what you mean. I used to do the same thing where I just add everything I like, and I'm like, what the hell am I eating?
You know, that's probably why I enjoy picking my own, because I do like it to be super simple, like you said, Dakota. Chicken, white rice, I choose one or the other, queso or guac, cheese, and salsa. And to me, that's all you really need. Maybe every once in a while I'll get fajita veggies, but I don't need a million things on it. So that might be why I like building my own. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, and I'm a garbage pail guy. Like, oh, I want all the stuff, you know, but all the stuff doesn't go. Yeah, if I had some taste, my wife would be easy. She's meat, cheese, maybe lettuce. Very few, she likes very few items. Her stuff's very boring. So she would love building her own because it would be very limited. Sorry, they opened the window and handed me my drink. Anyhow, Dakota.
Yeah, I'm a very not meat and potatoes kind of guy, but meat and cheese kind of guy. I'm not really big on the variety anymore. Until I eat stuff like Mediterranean, and I like their bowl, which has, you know, the pickled beets and, you know, garbanzo beans and all the garlic stuff. That's up my alley. But like you were saying, all that goes together. It's like the chef's choice. It's all meant to be together.
Speaking of Mediterranean, have you guys had Zestia, which is like the Greek equivalent of Chipotle?
I have. Love that place. I get the chicken Greek salad. You know, and I think I don't have to make a lot of choices there when I get to sell. But you can get a bull where you're in the same position. You've got to make a lot of decisions.
I don't know if I have, but I've been on a Greek kick as well. We've been having, we'll get like, what is it, Greek Pantheon or something like that. And then there's one other one, I can't remember what it's called. I don't know. But yeah, all good food. And I'm still a novice when it comes to how many different things you can add to that. So, Sean's saying, I don't really know what to put in it.
Yeah, there's one on map, like, at the end of my street, practically, and we end up there sometimes too often, but it is good food, man. Their chicken's delicious. They make the pitas fresh right there, fresh to order, so it is some good food. But, yeah, it's another one, like you said, Sean, where if you can... if you have a trouble making decisions and picking what you want, you could be in a real pickle there because they have all kinds of stuff you can add to a bowl or a sandwich.
Yep. No, I know. I know it sounds silly. You know, it's like, well, for God's sake, just figure out what you like and remember it. But I don't. You know, it's like, I mean, I kind of probably could, you know. I mean, if you ask me what are the ingredients of a Chicago hot dog, I could rattle them off down to the make and, you know, the brand and all that, you know, because it's very important, you know, to get that exactly right. And so, you know, it's not like I'm not capable of remembering a laundry list of ingredients for something, but I just don't. I don't know why. And then I get in there and I stand there. I guess I don't go there enough. I suppose if I did, you know, then I formulate an opinion, oh, you know what, the feta cheese didn't go with the jalapenos. I'm going to skip that next time. Dakota?
Speaking of good hot dogs, anyone do Portillo's?
I've been there, have not gotten the hot dogs there. I've gotten, I've always grabbed the Italian beef sandwich, which are pretty good.
Oh, Anthony, have you been to Max's on Mac?
I have not. I heard you talking about it the other day, but I rarely buy Italian beef sandwiches. I usually just make them, so it's kind of a conundrum. But I have heard of that place that you're talking about, and do definitely need to try it.
All right. Well, the only reason I mention it is because it's in the hood, so to speak, and you can get there pretty quick, and they've got the sugar. Not only do they have the Chicago dogs and the Italian beef, but they got a lot of other stuff. They've got these corned beef egg rolls. Oh, my God. They are so good. So I recommend you check it out. They're not cheap, but I think the egg rolls you get 3 for $15 or something like that's the deal. But I'll tell you what, they're a meal, and you'd be hard-pressed to eat, too. You know, they got a lot of other stuff, too. They got some crazy soups and stuff. So yeah, so there's they got a table, I think one table. It's really, really not designed to eat in, so it's carry out only. But yeah, give it a try. I don't know if you can get their menu online. I don't think they have paper ones to like to go, so I'm sure they have something online, but worth checking out. Dakota.
Way too much food talk this early. Now I'm starving, and I usually don't eat breakfast, but I really want breakfast.
Sean, the other really good place for sandwiches and lunch over by me is there's a newer Philly cheesesteak place on Mac in little downtown St. Clair Shores, and boy, do they know how to make some Philly cheesesteaks. They're delicious. And Dakota, I'm right there with you. Man, I don't eat breakfast. I'm starving right now. I would really enjoy an omelet and hash browns at the moment.
Well, it got to me too, and when I was getting my coffee at Starbucks, I snuck a breakfast sandwich in with it. So couldn't help myself. So So the problem is how will this affect me at lunch? Will I be compromised at lunch? Because that's also what happens. I get something and for breakfast, and then lunchtime I'm really not all that hungry. Anyhow. All right, I'm pulling in here. Dakota, I got the detector. So we'll connect. Just let me know either by phone or by telegram or something like that, or text or whatever, when you think you're going to get free, and that's when I'll do my lunch. And I'm going to head at minimum to like 19 Garfield, which I think puts me about a mile from you. But so that'll work out. Go ahead and confirm.
All right, Sean, I appreciate it. Yeah, if you're at 19 at Garfield, your next right turn is driving past my office to get back to Gratiot, depending on how you go, or Elizabeth. Yeah, we'll keep in touch. I'll let you know how my day is looking. I should have a better idea here in a couple hours.
Okay, let me jump out. Catch everybody in a bit, in a while. I'll be back on the radio shortly. Anthony, W8FP.
John, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. KE8RUH. Dakota, where are you at? Are you almost at the office?
At ADBF. Finally turning into my parking lot because everyone's stuck on stupid today. 23 is the biggest cluster in the entire world. No one understands to get in the left lane, so the overabundance of people that live off 23 Mile Road can merge. And then there was an accident at 32 and 53 because some moron rear-ended another guy at a red light. So I sat there for 15 minutes, and I left my house at like 6:35.
Yeah, I'm currently stopped on 696, so I totally understand. But it's been a real treat. And it's going to be even worse on the way home because we're supposed to get 1 to 3 inches throughout the day.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. I mean, I can play Matchastic, text, talk on the phone, play radio, and eat a sandwich with chopsticks before I struggle to drive compared to these people who have their hands 10 and 2 and paying attention, and they still can't.
Yep. Hey, did you do that, I think you said you did you do that modification of that T-deck?
Yeah, I modded the T-deck, and I modded my T-Echo.
And is the T-Echo a similar device that is whole, all-encompassing, like a BlackBerry style?
No, the T-Echo is basically a square box with an antenna and a e-ink screen that's got the GPS in it. It is all-in-one. There's just no keyboard. But I modified that one to put a 2,000 milliamp hour battery in there. I posted it in Telegram. I did it this morning. I don't know why. I got out of bed at like 5:15. I'm like, I got to do this right now. Because I had the epiphany that I had a 2,000 milliamp hour battery with the right JST connector in my drawer, and all I needed to do was turn it backplate. So I modified that one. I've got an antenna coming for it, and then my T-deck, all I did was put the SMA adapter on it and a little stubby antenna.
Where did you pick up that SMA adapter from, and was it a difficult mod?
I had one that came with my Rack Wireless, but they're all over Amazon. You can get a 2-pack of antennas with the SMA to IPEX for like $9. So that's where I got mine. I had one, but I had one in my cart if I didn't have one. It's not a bad mod. It takes like, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes, so it's not bad.
Did you see improvement? I mean, was it noticeable? I know you don't get a lot of action out by you, but have you noticed it being better reception to find nodes and things like that?
No, I haven't really tested it yet. And then Sean mentioned that he doesn't really have a use for the nodes that I donated to the cause anymore, so without being an Indian giver, I'm going to see if they're just going to collect dust, and if they are, I'll take them back. And my plan is to affix one of those a little bit more efficiently and permanently somewhere in my yard or house, hopefully on power, and then do some range testing that way. You guys are killing me. You're all involved now, and the mesh nodes are growing, and a guy popped up a mile and a half from my house and was messaging me, so I'm like, damn it, now I got to actually put effort into this.
Well, part of the problem that we all had was it wasn't doing what its intended purpose was, and now it's growing, so, I mean, it's a real catch-22, right? Like, it might function for its intended purpose and might actually get something out of it. But I will, we will figure out how to link up at some point. If you are getting those back, I can give you that solar panel. And as long as you face that sucker south, at least through the winter, you're not gonna have any problems. Load it up. I think it takes 18650s, and you'll run it. I mean, mine caught a few percent yesterday. I don't remember it being very sunny, but it's at 95% when I checked on it last night. So, I mean, I think that solar panel is pretty good.
All right, yeah, for sure. Like I said, if Sean's not going to use them, then I already told him all I would do is repurpose them and probably recase them. So, yeah, I'm interested in that solar panel. I'll order up some 18650s. But, yeah, I don't know. I figured if there's a guy out by me, he probably knows people out by me, and he's probably going to get people involved. So we might build a little network out by me, and who knows what's going to happen, so screw it. But, yeah, I've got your iGate in the truck. I forgot to grab another Raspberry Pi. I don't know if you're going to see Sean before I am, but I got to hook up with him today to get a metal detector. I lost my gold wedding band in my yard like a complete moron, pulling my antenna up into a tree. So I can give it to him if you're going to see him. If not, I'll hold on to it until you and I link up.
Just hold on to it. I will see what I can figure out. Yeah, it might even be next week at this point. I gotta figure out, I gotta get my wife's car in for service, for a warranty thing, so I may not have a car on Friday when I'm working remote, but I'll get it figured out. I'm gonna talk to the dealership today and figure that out, but hopefully Friday I can grab it, because I don't think I'm going up north to ski, but who knows, we'll see what happens.
All right, man. Sounds good. Just keep in touch. I'm going to go inside here. I've been parked for 10 minutes, and I'm extremely frustrated and annoyed how long it took me to get here, so I'm going to start my day. We'll maybe catch you on the ride home. I'm out of here at 4 today. Be clear of yours. NADDF.
All right, cool. I'll catch up with you soon. KE8RUH. I'll be clear also.
up right now. They're afraid to see you.
All this racket.
Hello, it's me, NHKTT.
WAFU. NHKTT, Memphis.
I just drove through your beautiful town.
I bet you do. I'm at 8 miles into Quinder, so I'm nowhere near it.
Well, the good news is your town is just there. I figured out where Boardman Road was. For that, I'm in that a couple days ago. And I didn't know that half the town is in St. Clair County.
Yes, Boardman Road is a cutoff, so half of us are in our right mind, and the other half have lost our mind.
And which side are you on?
Half-witted, so I think probably Macomb is going to be the half-witted side.
Okay, so you're south of the Boardman Road. That's good. Turns out better. All right, threw my call out there. Nobody's talking lately. Everybody's quiet. So, nothing else. I just broke down and bought one of those little mesh chassis thingy dingies. I'm going to play with that and see what that's all about.
That sounds like fun. Well, what's that thing that the Donald is messing with over there in Medicine Ike.
I'm not sure. Was it the FDR or was it the mesh casting thing? Might have been the FDR. I don't know. That's been what I've been playing with, the FDRs. That's basically it's a little mini radio receiver that picks up anything from like 7 megahertz to like 1.7 gigahertz. And you plug it into your PC and there's all sorts of different software that you can do anything you want with it. Turn it into an old school scanner, turn it into an HF monitoring device, turn it into a P25 trunking scanner, listen to all the microwave frequencies. It's kind of a cool thing. That's where all my time has been spent. That bug bit me by the butt pretty good. So that's what I've been playing with. And a lot of the other guys have been playing with the Meshcastic thing. Trying to get it all trunked together. I think that's like at 915 megahertz right in that area. So it's kind of a privatized texting device.
Yeah, no, you were messing with an SDR, and it was Meshcastic. That's what Don's messing with.
Yeah, I have to look and see what one he is. I just scan through them. I don't read them very deep. But I guess once I get this thing up and operational in the basic mode, that's when all the questions will be forthwith. But right now, I just I have no idea what they're talking about. So I'm going to see what that's all about.
You know, when I get that SDR thing, I got a computer that's sitting in my front room. It's kind of cool in there, so I know that sucker's not going to overheat. But that's what I want to use it for. Put a speaker on it so I can hear everything.
In a second, I get a phone call. And I think they beep.
Thank you, Joe.
Hey, Tom, you still there?
NAKPP.
K-E-8-B-S-I. K-E-8-B-S-I. Greg, you copy? K-Z-8-Z. Nothing heard from K-E-8-B-S-I. K-Z-8-Z. Mobile.
I haven't heard him on the radio for a bit. K-A-C-K-D-O.
Copy that. Thanks.
No problem. 73 K-C-K-D-O.
W-A-F-U.
KFAS.
What up?
Not much. Last hour of my training class. I'm kind of bored.
Training. I had to do that last week with Amazon, and it was not fun.
Yeah, did you take the intro of probably the business overview to their Amazon services?
No, not yet. I got to get a bunch of their certifications and all that fun crap. It was where we were going over Q, which is their AI, chatbot, does a lot of other features, so we were getting a crash course in that. But yeah, I'll be getting certs here pretty soon.
talking about C-U-E-Q?
Maybe. I don't know. I can't recall if I've ever seen it written down anywhere.
I just know somebody was using the Q language or whatever for something, and that was the first time I ever heard of it. So I wonder if it's the same thing.
I don't know, it's pretty cool. Some of the examples they showed us were you have this S3 bucket, and you put all these documents in it, and then you can have this bot reference that S3 bucket, so if you're like, hey, find me when this contract expires, it'll query all the uploaded docs and say, oh, here it is, so I don't know. I don't really call that AI, but I guess everyone's got a different definition of it.
What we call AI now is basically a clever program that does the things that we'd write a program for before is the same thing. But, yeah, well, I'm going through this JFrog stuff. It's just get familiar with the product. I've done this Artifactory stuff a long time ago. This is all refresher, see what's new. But I don't believe in certifications anymore. At least at my stage, I'm not getting certified for anything. What's the point? It's like, do you trust my experience or do you not?
I remember when I was shopping for a rice cooker, they were advertising that they were AI because they knew when the rice was done. It's just like, you mean there's a sensor that turns the heat off? Oh my God. But I have to, where I'm not, not versed in Amazon, AWS. I've been a Microsoft guy my entire career, so still am. Of course, right when I got that, dialed, I know Microsoft in and out. It's time for a change, so it is what it is.
Did you have to use any Azure products at all, or did you get into their cloud stuff?
Oh yeah, all of our stuff is cloud-based. We don't have any on-site servers.
Yeah, so the reason why I asked is because, like, if you know one cloud provider and the way they do things, they're all the same. They just have different names for things.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. I had a hard time, imagining how would you do this differently, right? Because it's all a very straightforward concept. It's, you allocate resources. It's basically a VM that someone else is hosting, yada, yada.
Yeah, basically. And you'll learn about containers and all that stuff, but I'm not sure what you are learning it for. Like, are you learning it to be the boss that has other people do this stuff, or are you actually going to be the one that actually has to go into the AWS console and do all this stuff?
At this point, unfortunately, both. It's just my boss and I right now, so we've got to be the ones in it, maintaining it, deploying it, and all that fun stuff, and then ideally we're going to build out the team and then have guys that do it. We got to make sure we know how to manage them and make sure they're doing things correctly.
Yeah, what you need to get is some grunts that are smarter than you. Well, I mean, not necessarily smarter than you, but like they just work on things where you work on managing people and all that stuff. And they do all the work and they have to convince you that this is the right thing of doing. But yeah, I see what you're doing. I mean, you can also take the other approach, too. You become a technical manager, and then you hire people and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and you hope your guys under you are going to, move up the chain or whatever. They may have some knowledge, and then you can move into more of a manager-type role type of thing. But, yeah, I see what's going on. So, very cool. Yeah, I mean, if they're going to pay for all those certs, then go ahead. If you have to pay for the cert yourself, I would say don't bother.
Oh, no, I've never been the technical technical guy. I never will be, nor do I want to be. I mean, I'm technical enough that I can get by and make things happen, but I don't want to bury myself in it and that be my day-to-day. I'm much, much better, you know, client-facing, so to speak, and running projects and keeping things in order and that kind of stuff. I'm not the type of guy that's going to go get buried in, you know, AWS and the ins and outs of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've done it for I did it for a little bit. I'm not, like, well-versed in how everything that AWS works and how GCP works and how Azure works and stuff, but I know, like, the concepts. There's, you know, there's regions and there's, there's, you know, ephemeral disks and things like that. Like from a higher level, like a generalist view, I know about this stuff, but from a specific view of how would I implement something, what's the best practice, that's where I probably fall short a little bit and need a specialist to help me out.
I'm hoping to stay kind of further away from it, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I'd like to be the guy that's just kind of keeping the operation side functional, right? Like, we're not going to have Amazon firewalls and we're not going to get rid of Microsoft or Microsoft Office, you know, things like that. We're not going to venture away from Unify. So I would like to just focus on that stuff, but I still need to know just enough of Amazon to be, you know, proficient and handle things if needed. But, no, I'm kind of with you on that. I understand it from a high level, but, you know, I'm not a developer. I'm not in it like the guys that were at on site last week.
Yeah, and these guys are probably just using Terraform, and they just edit a Terraform file, which has, you know, I don't know if you know what Terraform is. It's basically it's a template for your whole thing, right? It's like a file that describes your environment and what, you know, how many VMs you need and which VMs talk to each other and all that stuff. You can go really crazy with it, and you just throw that at the at Amazon or whatever, and it does its thing. It just, like, does what you want it to do. And if you don't like it, you tear it all down, you rebuild it again.
Oh, I'm sure that's what they do. There's no way a company that size can, you know, hand-code everything for each customer. It would take forever. But, I mean, what they've got works. Solid system. It's reliable. It's customizable. I'm gonna know more. I was gonna say I'd like to know more, but I will know more. It's just a matter of time. But give me a second here. I've been on hold with the scholars at Yaesu for 23 minutes. Still no update on my radio. It's been over a week since someone said they would get back with me, and I'm literally to the point where I'm about to call DX Engineering and say give me a return label for my 710 because I don't want to give a dollar to Yaesu. So give me one second. I'm gonna see if this person will give me a person that can actually help me instead of a receptionist.
Alrighty, good luck. Okay, I see
that. That ain't DDF.
KE8RUH?
I'm never buying another Yaesu.
What was that?
I said I will never buy another Yaesu product.
Are they dragging this saga along or what?
Well, after my 35-minute phone call, 32 of which were hold minutes, they basically said they replaced the main board now, and it's going through the testing phases. So I was like, you know what, I don't even care, I'm going to sell it as soon as I get it back anyway, but it's like, at this point, why would you not have just replaced the unit and sent me a new one?
Well, I have compassion for your customer care today, because I called Garmin, and they told me that my options are to buy a new watch, because they cannot replace the one that I have, and they would be willing to give me 20% off. And the cheapest one that they could get me would be $720.
Oh my God, man. You know, you don't anticipate these things when you're spending that kind of money. I don't understand. Well, I get where Garmin's at. They're kind of trying to do you right, because you're probably out of warranty. I'm surprised it's not serviceable, but that watch is, I guess, getting old. And 20% to anything else is actually a pretty good dealio, but not when you're buying direct. MSRP is garbage. I think MSRP on these watches is like $1,100, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. My watch is absolutely out of warranty, and I did not expect them to replace it. They are, according to them, not serviceable at all. Like, if your battery goes out, nothing. Like, they don't replace batteries. They don't do anything. It's all software-driven and pure replacements while under warranty. And, you know, it was just very disappointing that I have a watch that I spent as much money on as I did. To your point, MSRP is ridiculous. The guy actually told me that I would probably be better off going and looking on Amazon because I could get a better deal. And I was absolutely appalled. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But, I mean, it wasn't his fault. He was very helpful, but it was like, dude, I spent all this money and the only solution is for me to give you $720. It's absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, dude, that sucks. That's just an all-around bad situation. I mean, he's right. Like, Amazon or Best Buy, when they're doing their sales, is the way to go. But still, now you're out that money. I'd still mess with it and try it. I'd buy one more OEM charger from Amazon and try it, just for giggles. But, yeah, that's tough, dude. But, yeah, their MSRP is ridiculous. I don't know, they're like Vortex, right? Like, my binoculars, MSRP is $2,300. I paid $1,000 less than that for them.
Right, because no one in their right mind spends MSRP on anything. You know, it's crazy. I don't know. I did buy a another charger cord. We'll see what happens. I'll limp it along as long as I can, and I think I was talking to somebody the other day. I might be able to get like dealer list price on a watch, and maybe I'll replace it in a couple months or something. But it's just super frustrating and unnecessary.
Yeah, that's kind of weird though. The 5X Plus, I sold my buddy just died too, and you're having issues with your 5X, and it's like, man, maybe that's their lifespan, right, is however many years that is if they come out. But, well, good luck, dude. I just got home. I just wanted to, I heard you call out when I was on hold. I wanted to pop in, say hi. I'm going to get inside here. I got my shiny new biometric door lock for the master bedroom that I'm going to go put on, so I'm sure I will catch you in the morning, or maybe I'll be on the note here in a bit. I'll be clear of yours, any DDS.
All right, sounds good. Have a great evening, KE8RUH. Yeah, this is Anthony, but you're frying some bacon over there. I don't know if you're in a bad spot or if it's me, but I'm in the normal neck of the woods, so usually I get good reception here.
Oh, it's probably me. I'm taken further away from the FBI.
Ah, okay. And I didn't catch your call on the first call out. Who am I talking with? All right, Lance. Yeah, you're frying some bacon pretty hard. Where are you at?
Special Bar Road. Pick up Holly and Phil.
Yeah, you're really testing the limits if you're at Sashaba. Are you on the Warren repeater, or which FBI repeater are you on?
Yeah, I'm on Warren. Romeo's a little too far east to reach out here.
Nah, you must have just went up a hill because I can hear you pretty well now.
Yeah, it kind of goes up and down around here.
You just on your way home?
Yep. Yeah. Long trek to the Great White North.
Yep, we were supposed to get some snow down here today, but, obviously never showed up. They were calling for 2 to 3 inches, I thought.
Yeah, a little snow on the drive in, but I don't think it was definitely not 2 to 3 inches, but it was a little further north where it was supposed to taper off.
Yeah, it was sunny for most of the day, at least where I was. I was in Troy all day, and now I'm headed 94 west, just south of 696, so, yeah, I enjoy the sun. That was a nice surprise for me. I didn't pick any of that one up. Why don't you try it again, and if I don't pick it up, I'll let you know, and we'll just part ways here. This is KE8RUH. Yep, missed the whole thing. Didn't even get any bacon frying. Heard you keying up, and that's it. So this is KE8RUH. Have a great night if you can hear me. And maybe I will catch you tomorrow. Have a great evening. I'll be clear.
He'll be away on the other side.
N8KPP with the Kurt Junk.
Over to my HD, the open spot, and then
I think I thought it was kind of broken up because the cell signal kind of stinks right there on, where am I at here? Squirrel Road.
Yeah, because you're over-modulating, like, way too much on your open spot.
Yeah, I forgot to turn the power down on it. I was sitting at 1 watt, and it's, like, right here, so I had to try to bring it down to 50 milliwatts, and not talk as loud.
Yeah, that was more than a watt. I think your gain is still too high on your open spot, at least on the digital side.
Nah, I was eating the mic on it. I wasn't talking across the radio. I was talking into the radio, which I should not be doing, because that's when I overmod. But when I talk across the radio, then it's pretty even audio on it.
Yeah, well, Wally's take on it is everybody, when they're on digital, just talks way too loud and you don't have to. Just talk in a nice, normal, soft voice. And that's usually good enough, but just sometimes when she yells at me, turn it down, and that's common with a lot of people on digital. They all talk too loud, or their gain, they're set too high.
Yeah, I'm going to be very honest, and I had Captain Knot set it all up for me. So I think it's just my tone of voice, and when I talk and I go from radio to radio, just an old habit, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Ben, of course. I'll take you ahead and hold finally.
Yeah, I left the office a little early. I don't get off for another half hour, and I'm the emergency tech again for this week. So, but I'm going to go home, rest my back. I need to call in the morning to make an appointment because it's still killing me after falling down the stairs 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, good luck with that. I had mine operated on once and it was good for about a year and a half, and now it's back to the way it was. So I've kind of learned just to deal with it. The best way I found to get rid of it is doing, sit-ups, believe it or not. And then it goes away for a couple, 3 days, and then I gotta do some more sit-ups.
Well, that's the funky thing. It's fine for a while, and then all of a sudden it flares up, and it goes from a dull ache to a sharp pain. And, it radiates towards my ribs. And, there was one point where if I cough or sneeze, it was pretty darn well painful. I cracked my ribs again. Because I try to deal with it. I know I got arthritis in my back. So, who knows? Maybe I crunched something more or something on a plate.
Yeah, this getting old stuff isn't all what it's cracked up to be. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. Well, let's see here. The better majority of my surgeries that I've had in regards to bones have been on my right side. My right hand and wrist and arm, my right shoulder, my right neck, actually my whole neck, my right rib cage. Jeezo piezo. I am not enjoying getting in the higher ages.
Yeah, I know. Had my kidneys operated on a couple times too. That's not fun. I'm trying to turn left here on the Hall Road and it's not going very well. Just a minute. Any case of pain. I have succeeded and no harm was done.
Let me take it. You just came off the cloverleaf.
Headed south from New Baltimore and southwest or whatever the heck it's called. And going to Costco. Try to get some supplies for the office.
Oh, I bet you're coming from up behind me over here in Lake Orion or something like that. When you said you had to make the right on the Hall Road, I bet you're doing the loop.
No, I'm over here New Baltimore, Chesterfield area. Got off the highway and crashed it all heading west.
Oh, my daughter works right over there.
Which place?
The Pennzoil, right there on Gratiot, just north of Hall Road, between the Burger King and I think Taco Bell.
Oh, very good. Yeah, we're coming up to the Subaru dealer right now. That's our plan. So, but other than that, not too much. So, all's been good. I just heard your voice out there. Thought I'd say hi. Radio's been kind of quiet today, of course. Been a fair amount of driving, but I had to run up to Grand Ledge, Grand Blank, whatever the heck it's called. Grand, I don't know. Whatever's up there by Flint. I had to go up there today and look at a customer's air compressor, which was blown up. I mean, it was blown up like the best blow-up job I've ever seen.
I'm hoping it's just the piston part did not depend.
It was. Actually, I've never seen one do this. The piston blew, and if you're familiar with them, I take it, and it blew the jugs right off of the block. And I've never seen that happen before. So they said that it did it in the middle of the night when nobody was there to hear it. But it totally destroyed itself, and the piston was laying on the floor.
To me, that sounds like the release valve didn't pop, causing an excess of pressure in the compressor housing. It blew the piston and the block and the whole thing right off. Oh boy, that would have been a sight to see.
I'll send you a picture. It was probably the biggest blow-up job I'd ever seen. You know, you usually see a rod off the block or, you know, the head blown off or something of that nature. This literally blew the jug right off of the engine block. I mean, it was like, wow.
Was this a propane one or was this electric?
Just electric compressed air, 15 horsepower. So you wouldn't have thinking it, you wouldn't have thinking like that thinking. You wouldn't think it had that much horsepower, but it did.
Yeah, to me that's saying that the safety valve didn't release, and it sounds like an overrun on the motor to me to blow the whole thing off.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened, so that would, even in that case, it's only 175 PSI. That's not enough to a catastrophic failure like that. You know, I'm thinking maybe it threw a rod or something, or a rod or a wrist pin, probably the wrist pin. Something got her.
Yeah, 175 isn't that bad. I don't think the rate, I think, for 600 total. But, yeah, if it threw a wrist pin, yeah. Puts up the pressure, blew it off. I'm just picturing it in my head. What's the RPM on that, off the motor?
The motor's 1750, the flywheel's going at about 1,000.
That's like the idle speed. My Escalade, my idle speed is like 900. And then just a four-cylinder, I mean, this one here, idles about just under 1,000. So it doesn't seem like a lot.
Yeah, you would think so, but whatever. I'll send you a picture of it. It was quite interesting. I actually sent it. It was older, about 15, 20 years old, but I sent a picture of it to my factory rep, and because he's been doing this a long time too, and he says he's never seen one blow that far apart either. So, interesting day. But I ended up selling him a new one, so I was happy.
Oh, yeah, I would be too. The commission on that one would be nice.
So I'm taking Mama out to dinner.
Donald's Big Mac it is.
Actually, she's kind of a McDonald's girl. Out of all the fast food, I think that's probably her favorite of the fast food.
I've been getting into Culver's. I like Culver's. I really like Culver's. K-C-H-H. KZSI, something like that.
Oh, Greg. Yeah, his voice is very unique, too. All right, sir. I'm pulling in where I'm going to take her, so I'm going to let you go. You drive safe, and we shall chat later. And if I do get it, it's going to be a pretty cool call. NATO, we shall see. So I chat later. KCAKJO from NAKPP.
NA3ON is a side note when you go to Memphis. I live down the street from the Marathon Station. Can't miss me. Have a good evening and a good dinner. KCAKJO.
Nine 0 3 Romeo Sierra.